At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show, the PGA Championship edition here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I'm Brady Cannon, along with Wes Reynolds. Nick Henyon and Triv McKenzie are at the controls. Karina Howe and Rob Moreno support the show from down below as we get ready to take you through the next hour of major championship golf betting conversation. And Wes, good to see you again. It was 4 weeks ago that Justin Thomas blew a three-shot lead with three holes to play at the Workday Charity Open, and Matt Youmans and I were agonizing. Well, he turned that around and held on to win the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational in Memphis, and Matt and I got a little payback.
You did, and congratulations to both of you. I unfortunately stared at Justin Thomas at 18-1 in play on Friday night and went against my instinct and didn't bet it and knew I was going to regret it, and certainly did. Look, Justin Thomas, we mentioned a few weeks ago at the Workday, I think he's like 8-for-12 in terms of, or 8-for-13 in terms of converting 54 hole leads to win. So yeah, he's blown a few, but he's come back from behind in a few too, because Brendan Todd, you'll recall, was the 54 hole leader going into Sunday down at Memphis, much like he was at the Travelers a few weeks ago, and then didn't make a birdie all day and had a bad Sunday, just like he did in Connecticut. So Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka gave chase. And then Brooks Koepka did put a ball in the water at 18. I think he was two back, though, at that point. So he would have probably needed a hole out. But Justin Thomas led the field strokes gained tee to green. And when you do that, you're going to win a lot of golf tournaments.
It's been a pretty darn good run here on Long Shots. Going back 6 weeks, we've had some outright winners. Wes, you with two. Dustin Johnson at the Travelers and John Rahm at the Memorial. And then Youmans and I last week in Memphis. But I tell you what, the trend continues. Class players, really class players, are winning these golf tournaments. Some of the best players in the world right now are really playing exceptional golf.
Yeah, exactly. We've had a couple bombs win, Michael Thompson at the 3M, but that was a little bit of a weaker field. In terms of the strong fields, though, you're getting Dustin Johnson, you're getting John Rahm, you're getting Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas. So, look, class players usually win, and that's what's going to come into play for the PGA this week. I believe the last 32 majors have been won by a top 50 player or better in the official world golf rankings. The last guy not to do that was, or not to be in that top 50, rather, was Keegan Bradley back at the 2011 PGA down at the Atlanta Athletic Club. And he was, I believe, 108th going into that tournament. So more often than not, you're going to get these class players in these majors. But Thomas, 13 wins now on the PGA Tour, and that is in about a five-year span, Brady. So that's pretty darn good. And I've always maintained, I think, when he's at his best, Rory McIlroy is the best player in the world. That's being challenged right now by Justin Thomas, because you can't argue with wins. That's how we judge these things.
I thought TPC Southwind did a great job. It was an excellent precursor to a major championship. It was a stiff test. It was exciting. And you talk about the run on the PGA Tour right now. It was 3 weeks ago that we had the Memorial. Great tournament there. Great field. Then we go into Memphis. Great tournament. Great field. And now we go into the first major of the season. I think it's pretty remarkable what the PGA Tour has been able to do to create this buildup and continue to make the test tougher and tougher, and the drama and the excitement, all with a schedule that was retooled and just kind of pieced together in a restart.
Yeah, they have done a nice job, and credit to them in terms of the testing procedure, and credit to the players. I mean, look, we know that there are going to be some that are going to test for the virus and whatnot, but by and large, they have not had many hiccups in terms of retooling this tour and getting these big time players to play these events. And now we've got a major championship to look forward to. Unfortunately, no spectators, but I don't think it's affected the play at all. I think the play has been superb.
No, you could argue that maybe the play has been even better without the crowds around. I think it's kind of split. Some guys might prefer it, but some guys, I think, feed off maybe the calm in the crowd, in the atmosphere.
Right. Maybe it makes it a little bit easier, because look, they're used to playing in front of small crowds, especially if you're in that Thursday, which is a work day for most folks, that Thursday morning where you don't have a lot of spectators out there.
This is indeed Long Shots on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. It is major championship week here on VSiN and VSiN.com, and it's Wes Reynolds and Brady Cannon with you. Shortly, we'll be joined by Alan Shipnuck, the esteemed golf writer, and later on in the program, we'll speak with Jeff Sherman, one of the world's best odds makers over at the Superbook at Westgate. It is the 102nd renewal of the PGA Championship, and it's upon us, Wes. A major championship week. We haven't been able to say that in over a year. I want to talk about the two-time defending champion, Brooks Koepka. He really came out with quite a performance in Memphis last week, and this guy is absolutely a force to be reckoned with in any major, let alone one that he comes in as a two-time defending champion. But if you look at some of the results he's had out on the West Coast, first of all, he doesn't have very many. He does have a top 10 finish at the AT&T Pebble Beach. He finished second at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach last year. Other than that, not a whole lot of history or good history to go off of for Brooks.
Yeah, Brooks is actually going to try to make history this week. He's trying to be the first man to win three consecutive Wanamaker trophies, the trophy given out for the PGA Championship winner. Last time that was done, I believe, 1926, Walter Hagen. That was the match play era.
You were a young kid at that time.
Yeah, I was just out of the womb back there in 1926. At least I feel like it some of these days. But it was a match play event until the late 1950s, and then a stroke play event. Brooks has won the last two, as you mentioned, at Belrive in 2008, where he was shot 264, which is the all-time 72-hole scoring record, and then last year at Bethpage. So he doesn't have a lot on the West Coast. And then you have Justin Thomas trying to accomplish a feat of his own, now the new number one player in the world. He wrestles that from Jon Rahm, who lasted all but 2 weeks at number one, but falls to number two. JT is trying to be the first man to win a major while at number one. Last time it was done was Rory McIlroy 2014 at Valhalla at the PGA, when he was a 5-1 odds on favorite to win that event. And I noticed that stat out there this week. You know how many times Tiger at number one won majors?
Oh, God.
11 times.
Yeah, I was going to say 10.
Yeah, it's remarkable. That's one of the more remarkable stats, and it's not very widely publicized, but to be the man and have that gun on you and have everybody gunning for you and be the target, and to be able to come through 11 times as the number one ranked player in the world. Because look, when guys get to number one, there's a lot of pressure.
Absolutely.
On them. And that's a little bit why I skirted Justin Thomas this week, even though I think he can win. But at 9-1, you know, when you're getting into single digits, you know, no thanks.
We transition from warm and sticky Memphis, Tennessee to cool and breezy San Francisco. High temperatures expected to be about 65 degrees each day. The fog, the cloud cover, also anywhere from 12 to 18 miles an hour of wind in the forecast for Harding Park. And with that, a guy that hails not too far from the Bay Area, it is time to bring in our guest. Somewhere between Pebble and Pasatiempo is where you'll find our friend Alan Shipnuck. Over 20 years at Sports Illustrated, he's a senior writer for Golf Magazine and Golf.com, also an author of 6 books. Alan, great to have you on the program again. You joined us last summer to preview the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, and now we go up the road about an hour and a half to San Francisco, another course of which you are very familiar. Please tell us about Harding Park. I'm hearing, you know, thick rough and the narrowing of the fairways. I'm starting to get a sense that Harding Park may play a bit more like a U.S. Open than a slightly less penal PGA setup.
Yeah, no question, which I love, because since the tour restarted after the coronavirus break, they've been destroying the golf courses. It was 25 under is what it takes to win, and that's fine. It's entertaining, but we need to change the pace, and the majors are supposed to really separate the pretenders from the contenders, and tough conditions will do that. Long rough, firm greens, all of it. And, you know, the modern game is so overwhelmed, these ancient playing fields, that, you know, 7,200 yards is almost a joke. But luckily, because of the cold, thick, damp air, I think Harding's going to play closer to 8,000. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's become driver wedge week in and week out on the tour. So now you're going to have to really hit some shots and use every club in your bag. And I think it's going to be a terrific test. And I think you're right. The scoring is going to be more akin to a grinding U.S. Open than some of the fireworks we've seen in previous PGAs.
Yeah, Alan, when I first looked at this event this week, I was thinking, okay, bomb and gouge. And you know what that means. Hit it as hard as you can, and if you get in the rough, then you can punch it out of there and get close like some of these guys that can hit it so long. But I tended to be a little bit in my early handicapping, maybe more biased to the long hitters rather than the ball strikers. But it seems like the balance is coming into play as we get more updates on the weather forecast with the wind this week.
Yeah, I mean, length is an advantage in every condition, on every golf course, and as it should be. Hitting the ball far is a skill, and it's a talent. And the problem is that the week in, week out setup on the tour, there's no penalty for missing fairways. So then the balance shifts too much to the guys who hit it really far. But even out here, I mean, it's going to take a lot of drivers. The course is just playing too long to lay up off the tee. I mean, you don't want 220 coming into these par fours, because the greens at Harding are not big, and a lot of them are slanted at, you know, essentially a 30, 45 degree angle from the fairway. So they play shallow, and the pins can really be tucked. And so you still need to hit driver, and you need to give yourself some shorter clubs in, but there will be a penalty for missing the fairway, unlike at a Colonial or a Hilton Head or some of these places where the guys have just been swinging away. So, hitting it long and straight is always going to help on any golf course, and Harding is no exception. But certainly, you know, you look at a guy like, say, Jason Day, who he's 150th in driving accuracy, but he's like in the 40s in strokes gained off the tee, meaning he hits it so far that when he misses the fairway, he's still close enough to the green. There's not really a penalty for missing the fairway. That's on a regular tour setup. But in this case, you know, Day is going to be penalized for his misses. So, you know, he's had 3 straight top 10s and is a guy who's in good form and has become kind of a trendy pick. But if he's not hitting fairways, it's going to be a much tougher test for him. So, as always, it's going to take that combination of power and accuracy. You know, that was Brooks Koepka's secret at some of these tough setups. Whether his knee will allow him to do it is an open question. But, you look at a guy like Brooks, like Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas. I mean, they're the top of the world rankings for a reason, because they drive it long and they also drive it straight. So I think this is a good week to go straight chalk. I mean, John Rahm, he's the same kind of player. It's really going to be a premium off the tee at this golf course. And it does become interesting for Tiger, who has always been more conservative and always more of a tactician. He's more comfortable hitting irons and hybrids off four woods off the tee as necessary. But if he does that and he does it well, he's going to have to really rely on his long irons, which we know are some of the best ever. So it's not a bad formula, but it puts a lot of pressure on his iron game. So How the players decide to attack this golf course is going to be really interesting. There's more decision making, and there's more, cost benefit analysis on these tee boxes than what we see every week.
Alan, part of my handicapping routine is to look at how players have performed at similar courses. And this week I looked at Pebble Beach and Torrey Pines, and then also Riviera and Chapultepec, where they played to WGC Mexico. These two courses, Riviera and Chapultepec, have a similar blend of Poana and Bent on the greens as they do at Harding Park. What courses do you think make sense as comparables where we are likely to see some crossover success?
Yeah, well, for sure, you look at some of the older guys, how they performed at the Olympic Club, which is literally around the corner from Harding Park. I mean, it's built around the same lake. So that's a good comp, even though they don't go there that often. Pebble, for sure, it's an old style golf course, small green. As you say, similar grasses, similar weather. I think that's a very useful comparison. Silverado, where they play the fall event, it's only about 30 miles north. So luckily the tour comes to Northern California a lot, and so these guys see these conditions, but not as a major championship setup very often. I mean, certainly last summer's U.S. Open at Pebble Beach is probably the best baseline comparison. That was pretty thick rough and pretty firm green. It's interesting. Harding Park is visually, I think, one of the coolest courses off the tee. It has some of the most incredible cypress trees on the planet, and there's just these corridors to drive through. It may not translate as well on TV. I mean, it does not have super dynamic terrain. It's a little flat, but the players love it off the tee because you have these the definition of the trees, and so shooting your eye, and it's a very subtle thing. But obviously Tiger won the WGC at Harding, Rory won the match play. You have to look at the players who have succeeded at Harding Park because it's a very unique look. I mean, you just don't get these driving corridors very often, especially the modern movement to cut down trees at all these golf courses and take them back to the 1920s and 30s. Whether it's Oakmont or wherever, I think a lot of guys are usually stepping on tee boxes and it's just wide open expanse. And this is a completely different look and different challenge. So I think there's something for, horses for courses when you look back at the tournaments that have been played at Harding Park, because it is so highly specific in visually.
Alan, you may have tipped your hand earlier in the conversation in terms of who you like this week, but if you had maybe a foursome here of guys that you would like to win this event, maybe they're all chalk, maybe there's a mid-price guy squeezed in there, who would you go with this week?
Yeah, I haven't studied the odds too much. It's, I'm more focused on the storytelling, but a guy like Justin Thomas who has been on a heater. I mean, again, he loves to cut the ball off the tee, and Harding has more dog leg left and dog leg right. I mean, it's a subtle thing. Can Justin Thomas play a draw? Of course, he's the best player in the world, but is it as comfortable? Not quite. I mean, Rory's in that same camp. There's little subtleties like that. Memphis was bloody hot, and the guys who contended until the bitter end on Sunday, that takes so much out of you physically, emotionally. Now you got to fly across country. Look at Brooks week in row. I'm not sure the last time he did that, but it's been a while. Because of the strange interruption to this season, guys are going hard. So there's a fatigue factor that you have to investigate. So there's probably more factors looking at this PGA than any other as far as how players have been responding to the bubble. Rory talked about being a little flat emotionally without the adrenaline and the fans, and not having that sense of place. Every week feels the same. Maybe that helps him. He's been putting so much pressure on himself at the major championships. And maybe this week he can just freewheel it and pretend it's just, the Greater San Francisco Open and not worry about the history and the meaning of it all. So There's a lot of things to crunch here. I don't envy the odds makers because this is a very quirky tournament, the likes of which we've really never seen before because of the coronavirus and the change of dates and the weird playing conditions these players have been under. So I don't know. I think you got to look at the guys. Starts off the tee. It's the best drivers of the golf ball are going to be there, and we know who they are.
Alan, how about some name players in the field that you feel are not a good fit for this course or this course setup? Anyone that you think might find a struggle here this week?
Well, you look at Webb Simpson, who is probably the best player in the world from 150 yards in. I don't think there's any question about that, but he's not long off the tee, and sometimes he hits it a little crooked. It's going to be a tough go for Webb. I mean, the rest of his game is so good that if he's feeling it with the short clubs and with the scoring clubs and his putter gets hot, I mean, he can win anywhere, anytime. But he's at a big disadvantage statistically off the tee here. And I think the long weeds might just be too much for Webb to overcome. So I would put him at the top of the list. Really, finesse players, it's just a tough go for them. There's not that many left in this game, but some of the traditional dark horses, you might have to scratch off their list just because it's so much golf course. You know, a guy like Brant Snedeker, who's always played well in Northern in California, he's won at Torrey Pines, he's won at Pebble Beach. I think it's too much golf course for him. And then you get to this thing where the Poa greens, you know, everyone knows in the afternoon, Poa greens start getting bumpy, and it can get in the heads of the players. And in some ways, it's an equalizer. It's just harder to make putts on Poa. It is. And so I think the great putters lose a little bit of their advantage because it's a little more of a lottery. That's another factor to consider. If you have perfect greens, then it just comes down to execution, and that's why the great putters succeed at Augusta National and places like that. But on Poa greens, it's really luck of the draw. If you're going out late in the day and they're spiked up, I mean, Ben Crenshaw, he struggled on Poa. He's probably the greatest putter of all time. So I think you have to factor that into your thinking as well.
Alan, I've got just about 15 seconds. Tiger Woods, is he going to make the cut? Is he going to finish top 20? What do you think the big cat will do this week?
I think he'll make the cut. He just has so much grind. But given how little he's played, the cool temperatures, I think if Tiger gets four rounds in and just plays solid golf, I mean, I really feel like even though it's a major, this is about building towards the U.S. Open and the Masters. So I think top 20 would be a great result for Tiger. Top 10 seems a bridge too far.
Great to talk to you as always, my friend. Hope to do it next year for the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. That's Alan Shipnuck of Golf Magazine and Golf.com. We'll be back with more of Long Shots in just a moment right here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
A course that rates the highest in each factor is Ballyhie Golf Club, a tropical golf course paradise located on the Las Vegas Strip and in the shadows of some of the most famous hotels in the world. At Ballyhie, designed by award-winning architects Brian Schmidt and Lee Curley, you will find hundreds of mature palm trees, lagoon-like water features, beautiful bunkering, and a stunning clubhouse home to Sealy Restaurant and an indoor-outdoor patio experience and event space. The course offers Bluetooth technology, caddies upon request, jello shots, model-like beverage cart staff, VIP service from curb to course and back again, high-quality food and beverage, and a par 3 challenge where you can double your money with one swing. The stunning Ballyhie Golf Club, located in the heart of the Las Vegas Strip, is a golf jackpot, and there are many reasons why. Play today. To learn more about the Ballyhie experience or reserve your tee time, call 888-427-6678 or visit BallyhieGolfClub.com. That's B-A-L-I-H-A-I GolfClub.com. The prop shop segment makes its way in for Major Championship Week. There are so many alternative and exotic ways to bet golf, especially when it comes to major championships. So we want to take a look at some of these wagering menus. Wes, Alan Shipnuck commented on Tiger Woods and felt he would probably make the cut. I want to get your opinion on the make or miss the cut prop on Tiger Woods. And then also here locally at William Hill to finish top 20, the yes is an underdog at plus 150. And then will he not make the top 20 is minus 170.
Make the cut, I would say yes, but I'm not very high on his chances this week, despite the fact that he does have a win here. That was back in 2005. You'll recall it was the, I believe the, I think it was called the American Express Championship. Mm-hmm. It was a WGC. And who does he beat in the playoff, third playoff hole? He beat John Daly. Who then came to Las Vegas and got a $600,000 line of credit and lost it all in like 15 minutes. But that's another story. But yeah, that tells you Woods and Daly back in 2005, they were bombers.
Right.
So like Alan Shipnuck was saying, and like we've both been saying, you got to be long off the tee. But I know that Jeff Sherman, who we have coming up later in the show, is taking a stand against Tiger on a lot of matchups. I just don't think he has a lot of reps, and that's why I've mentioned in the past I've liked him better at the U.S. Open, because I think he's probably going to play a couple FedEx Cup events in August where he's going to play the BMW or perhaps make it to the Tour Championship. Well, he'll have something. He's had one tournament so far this summer since really February at the Genesis Invitational out in L.A. where he was the host, so yeah, I think he somehow gets in on the number, maybe kind of like Memorial, but I'm not expecting him to contend. But I've not expected him to contend before, and he surprised us and won the whole thing.
How about first round leader? We had a follower of the program suggest this on Twitter to us, and for the major championships, we wanted to take a look. This is a really fun bet, but it's not one that I have ever played because it is the ultimate crapshoot. Who's going to lead after round one? Anybody that you might consider for a stab here? We have the graphic up with some of the numbers on what the odds are on guys to finish in the lead after round one at Harding Park.
Yeah, and we just got the pairings before we record the program, so I don't have a full list, but we're just getting the pairings out. I will say one thing. If you're going to take first round leader, look at these tee times very closely and take a guy that goes off in the morning at about 7, 8, or 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, because there is a big-time draw bias where there's not much wind, just a couple miles an hour. But in the afternoon, you've got 20-mile-an-hour wind gusts late on the back nine on 14 through 17, and you look at some of these afternoon guys that are some of the bigger names in the afternoon: Adam Scott, DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, Sergio, Phil Mickelson, Webb Simpson, Paul Casey, Tommy Fleetwood, Matsuyama. Those are the bigger names that are in the afternoon. So it's going to favor your morning guys and just kind of the lower odd players in the morning: Koepka, Gary Woodland, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy. Those guys are all morning tee time. So if you are going to do a first round leader, And that's where you can really get some bombs in those prices as well. Don't necessarily take premium guys. If you're going to do that, take the morning guys on Thursday.
Yeah, and oftentimes the first round leader, more often than not, I believe the first round leader typically does come from the morning wave, whether there's a wind bias or not. But I've seen some guys that like to bet that market, and usually they'll take guys in the morning wave. One guy I looked at and I thought made sense was Colin Morikawa, who is very familiar with this course, having been an alum of Cal Berkeley. He's played here before. He ranks very well in first round scoring. He makes a lot of birdies. Maybe he's a guy to take a look at for the first round leader. I believe he's at about 45-1. We'll come back and talk major implications with our friend Jeff Sherman when we return right here on Long Shots on VSiN and VSiN.com. Here on Long Shots on VSiN and VSiN.com, Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. We've made it, folks. It is major week, the first time we can say that in over a year. And for the occasion, we want to bring a second guest onto the program. He's one of the best golf odds makers in the world. He's the VP of Risk Management at the Superbook at Westgate, a friend of the network. Jeff Sherman joins us. Jeff, thank you for always making time for VSiN. And you and I have conversations via Twitter or text messaging. We go back and forth about golf quite a bit. And this week, you sent me over some plays that you made purely based on a good number that you found. And then you also went into some plays that you thought made sense per your handicap. And I'm wondering, your handicap for Harding Park, what went into that breakdown of this golf course? And ultimately, who did you come up with?
Well, we're looking at a par 70 track and a little bit longer. So they got to be have some length off the tee, and then the approach shots into the green. And I think those are the two most vital factors. You have some big putting surfaces here, so you need to have good placement of the ball approaching the green. The ones that I came up with, my primary selection is Xander Schauffele. I found him at 25-1 on Sunday, and I thought the value on him relative to the guys above him, you're getting almost twice the odds of some of the other ones. He's playing just as well, coming in with some momentum from last week. So I thought he'd be a good fit here. And then I'm on a couple guys that I played last week in Memphis that perform well, that I think they can go in with momentum themselves. And that's Matthew Fitzpatrick I got at 80-1 and Billy Horschel at 150. So that's the threesome that I've handicapped as far as my guys at the top.
Jeff, in terms of guys that you're taking a stand against, because I also got we also were texting back and forth yesterday, it looks like you are taking a major stand against Tiger Woods, especially in the matchup market, in terms of the fact that I think probably more than likely that he doesn't have a lot of reps. Are you seeing a lot of action over at Superbook USA in terms of make or miss the cut here on Tiger?
Well, I just got that up this morning. We have yes minus 240 for him to make the cut, and relatively light so far on the props. That usually picks up on Wednesday. But, you know, you're right as far as my assessment is. I really wanted to find the guys that don't have competitive golf under their belt since the return of play. I was hoping Francesco Molinari would have been playing. He would have been a prime example. But I'm fading Tiger with his one tournament at the Memorial, and Adam Scott not having played competitively since the return to play. So I really zeroed in on those guys to fade in matchups.
Jeff, on the other coin, because I was going to bring up Adam Scott, and you had mentioned him, do you know, it's a major week, so obviously pretty much everybody is playing, but do you also look to go against guys that maybe play too much, that have played like several weeks in a row, that maybe they might be running out of gas at the wrong time?
Well, one of the classic ones is always Sung J.M. with as much as he plays. And, you know, his results have not been indicative of where he was earlier in the season. And that might be the case with him even returning after a break. But we've seen some money against him. I had M minus a quarter against Joaquin Niemann, and we took some money on Niemann. We're down to pick on that. So, you know, that makes some sense in some spots, and he could be one.
Jeff, you're kind of juggling two different roles over there at the Superbook. You have your own plays and your own thoughts for this championship, but then you're also managing the action that comes through at the window. Your shop there, the Superbook at Westgate, certainly known for having some very well-respected players come through. Where are you seeing some of the sharp players gravitate towards in golf this week?
Well, usually we see the sharps go against guys, not so much on. And so far they've been fading Dustin Johnson and surprisingly Daniel Berger. We took some sharp play against Daniel Berger in his matchup and in his prop markets too. So that one surprised me a bit, as well as he's been playing, but even not to finish top 20 with Daniel Berger. So those two really against, and nothing yet on certain golfers. And in the outright markets, We got some respected money on McIlroy at 14-1 to drive it down to 12-1, but nothing in the matchup markets.
Yeah, and Jeff, I was going to follow up with the outright market, because I know both you and I landed on a couple of the same players. One, namely Xander Schauffele, and he got absolutely hammered in the market worldwide yesterday. So, have you seen that action at your window follow suit?
Well, usually the guys that I end up playing, I try to book aggressively so we can put the book in a good position on him. So, you know, I was looking for him above 20-1 when I was looking over the weekend. And when I found him at 25, I got involved. And I've lowered him less than 20 at this point. So he's one of the ones that we do well on. And I'll take that approach with any of the guys that I have a strong opinion with. Been like that with Matthew Fitzpatrick. We're in good shape on him, and Horschel too.
Jeff, you mentioned Dustin Johnson and some people coming in against DJ this week. I wonder what your thought is on that. There's maybe not a better player in the world that has better history on California golf courses, Pebble Beach, Riviera. You would think that would translate well to Harding Park. We all remember that he shot a couple of 80s and a 78, but 6 weeks ago he won a tournament, and he was pretty darn good at Memphis too. Is it possibly a buy low spot on DJ right here?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for that in relation to the other guys, I mean, he's drifting towards 25-1. So, you know, there's potential from a value perspective, but which DJ is going to show up? And that's a tough thing, is when people are investing their money, they're trying to put it behind guys that have some consistency that they can trust to be there on Sunday. And right now, he's definitely not one of them.
Jeff, in terms of how you think that this course is going to play, and I mentioned it with our first guest, Alan Shipnuck, when I first kind of tried to break this down, I thought, okay, it's a longer par 70, so it's going to be just bomb and gouge, and the usual suspects that are going to be the strokes gained off the tee guys every single week are the guys that you're going to want to play. But now we're hearing reports that this rough is going to be pretty penal by PGA Championship standards, and now I'm thinking maybe balancing it out with the bombers and the ball strikers this week.
Yeah, I agree. And then with what I've heard along those lines, that's tough for DeChambeau, as much as he's been bombing the ball. And if he puts himself not in the fairway, he's going to have a lot of work to do. So this course might not suit someone like him. And ultimately tomorrow, I would almost expect to see him get faded based on the conditions.
Jeff, at the Superbook, of course, you have the largest indoor 4K TV screens in the world. You have in-game wagering. You have the VIP booths. Wes and I have been there for a Masters Sunday on a few different occasions. What kind of crowd do you expect to infiltrate the property there for the next 4 days? And, you know, obviously all that we've gone through and the setbacks in 2020, do you expect it to be a lively crowd? And also, what kind of handle do you expect for the PGA?
Yeah, I do expect a good crowd for it. You know, we had a terrific crowd for the Knights game yesterday, and with the first major upon us, I think it'll be great. It's just we have very limited TV coverage for the first couple days, where it's on ESPN Plus in the morning till 1 p.m. Pacific, and we can't broadcast that in the book, so we won't have coverage until 1 p.m. But when we do have the coverage, I think it'll be great. And as far as the handle goes, you know, when we were booking the weekly tournaments, at the return of play and they weren't going up against the other major sports, we were seeing about four times the handle. And then now it's regressed a little bit, which I expected, to about twice the handle. So,
Jeff, I got to run. I got to run, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next time here on VSiN and VSiN.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Here on Long Shots, Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. It's the point of the show we've all been waiting for, our plays for the first major in over a year. It's the PGA Championship, and we all have a lot of plays. We're getting in, digging in deep this week for a major championship, Wes, and we will start with Matt Youman's plays. He is fresh off of the win with Justin Thomas at the WGC in Memphis. He is going to ride Brooks Koepka, who was the biggest guy threatening Justin Thomas last week, played very well in his return to the WGC Memphis, where he was the defending champ there. He's a two-time defending champ here at the PGA Championship. He's on Xander Schauffele. I think we all share that sentiment. He's on Webb Simpson. Now, Matt got a really good number on Webb. He bet this a long time ago at 40-1. He's going to jump on that train with Daniel Berger. Hard to argue with how he's playing lately. Jason Day. Again, Alan Shipnuck mentioned the three top tens in a row. Jason Day becoming a popular selection this week. Jordan Spieth, who has typically played well in Northern California, has a win at Pebble. Matthew Fitzpatrick, who has been outstanding the last couple of weeks on tour. And then Gary Woodland, of course, who Matt witnessed win the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach last year.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, top 50 players have won 32 straight majors, and that whole list is in the top 50 that Matt has this week, so I can't really argue. Just to add on Jeff Sherman, our guest in the previous segment, we unfortunately ran up against it. In terms of the type of bets that they're receiving, Xander Schauffele, the number one ticket guy over at Westgate, seeing a lot of tickets. Brooks Koepka, Matt's top choice or his shortest price there at 12-1, one of the top five in tickets and money, both at Westgate Superbook USA. So Justin Thomas, same thing. Third in tickets, second in money. So the premium players are going to take bets here. And look, Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka are the last two guys to win Wanamaker trophies. Nobody's won a PGA besides those two men since 2016. That was Jimmy Walker at Baltusrol. So I can't really argue. The one thing I do want to point out about Webb Simpson, I'm going to refer back to Alan Shipnuck earlier in the segment, who said he might be a little bit against him this week. Another reason why you may be against him this week is Paul Tesori, who is Webb Simpson's caddy, and he's one of the best caddies on the PGA Tour, staying home this week. He's got back and hip injuries, and Webb is a good player, and I respect his talent, but he relies on the caddy a lot. He is not like a Dustin Johnson who's got his brother on the bag where it's just like, okay, go up there and hit it and don't even think. You know, just rip a shot off, you know. Don't think about it or don't analyze it too much. Webb is one of the more analytical guys. So that was the only one I was down on. Looking at some of those plays, I actually have a couple common plays there as well. Matt Fitzpatrick, I thought about adding, but the thing about Fitz, he finished 9 under par last week in Memphis. He gained 10 strokes on the green, 2.5 strokes around. So he pretty much lived and died on his putter last week. And I think Fitz has been a little bit drifted down into the market because of Bones McKay, who was his caddy at the Memorial and then was on the bag for JT last week in his win. He really was effusive in his praise of Matthew Fitzpatrick, that being Bones McKay. And that, I think, has registered in the market here. So I do think he's going to win. Hopefully it's not this week because I didn't bet him.
I actually did take a stab with Matthew Fitzpatrick, and I think a lot of the value has been sucked out of this guy. I don't necessarily recommend betting him now. You'll find him as low as maybe 40 or 45 to 1, maybe a 50 out there. But like Jeff Sherman, I actually bet him over the weekend when he was showing some success in Memphis. I got him at 80 to 1. Pretty darn good ball striker, good on the par 4 scoring, and you mentioned his putting. He is maybe the best putter in the world right now. And his last two starts finished 3rd at Memorial and 6th in Memphis. So Matthew Fitzpatrick at 80 to 1, I thought was a pretty good play. He seems to be a real grinder of a player and shows up in the most difficult settings. Looking at my PGA championship plays, you'll see on the graphic, as far as the shorter shots, I'm with all you folks on Xander Schauffele. The stats are there. He's got 4 straight top 20 finishes. He's in good form. We know his success at major championships. Oddly enough, the PGA is the championship that he's had the least success at, but a California player who's had success at Riviera. Dustin Johnson, I mentioned this earlier, I think it's a possible buy low spot on DJ. And this number you can get on him now, probably a minimum of 20 to 1 and maybe as high as 25.
He loves the bent grass and POA.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I took him at the Travelers, and it ended up paying dividends. It's been erratic a little bit. He obviously had those two double Jerry Rices back to back, as you call them, at Memorial. But look, you know, he's got the game to win here. And then referring back to Xander, what really, and I would have been on him all summer for this event at 25 to 1, but looking at what he did last week, he was 4 shots back of the winner, Thomas, at 9 under par. What's most impressive about that, 74th out of 78 players in the field last week for strokes gained approach. He was terrible with the irons, and he's usually a lot better with the irons, losing 5.6 strokes for total for the tournament. If he's at net zero, he's probably in contention. So that's why I think Xander is very popular this week. But look, I'm going to stick to my guns. Like Cornelius Brothers say, it's too late to turn back now. So I'm going to be on Xander. And then DeChambeau, that was something I mentioned on Long Shot several weeks ago. I bet him earlier. I don't necessarily love it, but at least it's a good number. Can't say the same for Paul Casey, who you can now get at about double the price. So it's all about timing the market. But I'm going to get to one, and then I want you to get back to a couple of yours. Patrick Cantlay, going to continue with the California theme.
Yep.
Both Xander and Patrick Cantlay, both Southern California guys. Look, 3rd at the PGA last year, 9th at the Masters, where he had the outright lead for a brief moment on that Sunday before Tiger got loose. But I think we might have a buy sign here, similar to what I talked about when Rahm shot 64 on Sunday at the Workday and then won next week at Memorial. Cantlay shot 8 under on the weekend. He only finished tied for 35th, but he was 8 under on the weekend. That was 4th best in the field. I think only JT, Tom Lewis, and I think maybe Abraham Anser were better. But top 10 in approach and strokes gained tee to green. So Cantlay is a guy I played. Matsuyama, just hoping that the wind picks up. I think he's a very good player in the wind, as is Jason Day. And I mentioned on Twitter last Sunday, Jason Day's found something. Three straight top seven finishes now. He recently split with the longtime swing coach, Colin Swatton, and I think it's kind of done him a little bit of good, even though that's always difficult. He's gotten back to basics. His ball striking has been a little bit better of late, but we know Day's bread and butter is that short game. And if you're going to miss greens, you've got to be able to chip and get out of bunkers, and he's one of the best in the world at doing that.
And Jason Day, also a tremendous history at Torrey Pines and Pebble Beach, loves to putt that.
Two wins at Torrey Pines, as a matter of fact.
Yep, loves to putt that Poana surface. John Rahm, also another player who's remarkably successful
on the West Coast. Loves playing in California, and I still may add him, even though it won't make the show. That was one I was going back and forth on because the price is short, but the profile is there.
Well, I thought, you know, you brought up a great point on John Rahm that led you to victory at the Memorial and seeing what he did at the Workday, where I believe it was a 64 that he shot in the final round. I saw the same thing in Memphis last week. He got out of the gate slow, understandable. You ascend to number one in the world, all kinds of pressure. But he got his act together on Sunday and shot a 66 at TPC Southwind. I think that is a buy sign on John Rahm. He's got to have a little bit something stuck in his craw that he was taken off of the top perch so quickly.
Right.
And again, the history here, I mean, he's finished third in Mexico. He's finished third at Riviera. He was third last year at the U.S. Open at Pebble. You can argue Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, take your pick. One of them is the best player in the world, if not all of them.
And let's keep it that Spanish theme because we both actually have Sergio Garcia. You got in on him early, I know, a few weeks ago. One thing Sergio Garcia can still do, even though he's now turned 40 this past January, is he can still drive the hell out of the golf ball. And he's one of the best in the world, even at that age. And I think maybe he got a little motivation for Sergio this week with seeing his young 25-year-old countryman, John Rahm, get to the number one ranking a couple weeks ago, where he's like, I'm not ready to go quietly into that good night yet. I've still got something left. He's actually won a worldwide event now in 9 consecutive years, dating back to 2011. The last stateside win, of course, was 2017, getting the green jacket at Augusta. But he was second in the field off the tee. He's always top in strokes gained off the tee pretty much every single week. Putter holds him back, but I think the windy conditions and being used to that in Europe, and he's won all over the continent and really all over the world in bad weather conditions. He really likes playing in the wind, so that's why I went with Sergio. And then we'll get to your bombs in a moment, but just to continue that in terms of the wind, Shane Lowry and Danny Willett, who I got at triple digits.
Lowry makes a lot of sense in the wind.
Shane Lowry, a little bit of one of those nuggets that I like that sometimes leads you into good picks and selections. Bo Martin, who's his regular caddy, got back from a paternity leave last week, and Lowry didn't have a top 10 all year since winning the Open Championship at Royal Portrush last summer. But Lowry last week tied for 6th, second in strokes gained around the green, second in scrambling, 7th in GIR, 6th in tee to green, 2nd in strokes gained approach in that Sunday final round when he was trying to chase down the leader. So Lowry, look, he's 26th in the world, and you can get him at triple digits. This is a guy that I think might like this bad weather. Willett, I mentioned, I bet him a couple weeks ago after the Memorial, even though he finished 32nd. He was 4th place going into the final round, just at a bad round. Success here at Harding Park was in the semifinals at the match play back in 2015. So I think those guys make a lot of sense at triple digits.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I played Shane Lowry at Pebble Beach at the AT&T one time. He finished in the top 10 for me. Absolutely a good wind player. Back to Sergio real quick. Finished 3rd here in 2005 to Tiger and John Daly, who went on to the playoff, and also has a great history at Riviera and the WGC Mexico on that similar putting surface. As far as the long bombs, I went with Ches Reavy and Billy Horschel. Got Horschel at 125 and really got a great number on Ches Reavy at 225-1.
Right there last week.
He's had a couple good weeks in a row. Really fell off the pace at the Memorial, but he's playing good golf. Also finished a top 10 in the U.S. Open last year at Pebble. That's going to do it for Major Championship Week here on Long Shots. Next week, we're back for the Wyndham Championship with Daniel Rappaport of Golf Digest. Enjoy the PGA Championship, everybody. Thank you for watching Long Shots here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.